Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. Joining us is Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture Director, Dr. James Mintert, talking once again here this month about the Ag Economy Barometer. CME Group and Purdue University put out here the survey. What did we see this month? What were some of the main driving forces behind that?
Well, the barometer did go down, I think, 8 points compared to last month. So that was a reading of 115 compared to 123 a year ago, or last month, and then 117 a year ago. So it's down just a little bit compared to this time last year. And you mentioned the driving force. The driving force really was about the current condition index. The current condition index fell, I think, 13 points compared to last month. That leaves it down about 8% below where it was in July 22. So I think people felt worse about what's taken place here over the course of the summer. And I think for a lot of people, it was probably related to the fact that we were seeing weaker commodity prices, especially for corn and soybeans, since we did the survey a month earlier back in the middle of July. So I think that was the driving force for a lot of it, was concerns about what's taking place with respect to prices. And, you know, if you look at elsewhere in our survey, you know, the other concern continues to be people are very worried about the fact that we've still got high input cost. So that you put those two together, and I think people are starting to worry a little bit about maybe a little bit of a cost price squeeze.
And something I do like to talk with you about is what's going on during the survey. Were there any major events that were happening during that time period?
Well, not really. I mean, this was our first survey after the Fed raised interest rates in late July. That didn't seem to have too much impact on people's perceptions about what was going to take place with respect to interest rates. I think 60% of the people in the survey still think prime interest rates are going to go up over the course of the next year, even given what Fed had said here in late July. So, you know, that continues to hang over it a little bit. But other than that, you know, I think, the other course consideration was what was taking place on the crop side, and that was kind of been evolving during the course of the survey.
So I know we already talked interest rates here a little bit as well, but diving deeper into future expectations, is that something that, you know, harvest might change here as we get into that more? I know small grains up in this area anyway, a lot of people were kind of pleasantly surprised as those things came off the field. Do you think that there's potential for that to take place even the opposite direction too, as harvest gets more prominent?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think there's still a lot of uncertainty about yield levels for corn and soybeans here in the Midwest. I know some of the crop tours suggested there was maybe a little more crop damage that took place because of hot, dry weather earlier in the summer. The flip side of that is you still hear some very positive reports about yields. USDA will be coming out with their updated data with respect to their first objective yield estimates here in about a week or so. And so our upcoming survey, the September survey, will be done in a time frame that captures the impact of that. So that'll be interesting to see with respect to what's taking place. We haven't heard enough harvest reports here in the Eastern Corn Belt to pick up anything with respect to how yields are turning out relative to expectations. Visiting with some farmers here in recent days, I think several people are starting to think about actually getting into harvest mode this week. And of course, the hot, dry weather is maybe encouraging that. So a week from now, we'll probably know more about yield prospects, particularly here in the Eastern Corn Belt, than what we knew at the moment. But, you know, longer term, I think it's probably going to be driven a little bit more by what takes place on the price side. The news there, I think, is that we are entering a weaker price environment than what we've been in the last 2 years. And that, I think, doesn't bode well for sentiment going forward.
And looking into the biggest concerns for farming operations, as you've mentioned already, higher input costs is kind of the main one there here. But what are some of the, how has that maybe changed a little bit as we've heard about interest rates and that different news, those types of things coming through?
Well, interest rates over time has become more of a concern to producers. I think this month we had about 24% of the producers in the survey cited that as one of their biggest concerns for the upcoming year. As you mentioned, the higher input cost was the top concern. I think 34% of the farmers in the survey chose that as one of their biggest concerns. But number two was rising interest rates. And then number three was lower crop and or livestock prices. And, you know, in terms of my expectations before we conducted the survey, I was probably expecting lower crop and livestock prices to show up a little higher than what it did, given the weakness we saw in commodity prices over the course of the summer. But still, at one out of five, 20%, that's a significant concern going forward. If there's another surprise on there, it's how few people seem to be focused on farm policy. I think only 6% of the people in this month's survey said farm policy was a big concern for them in the upcoming year. And given that we're approaching the end date for the 2018 Farm Bill, discussions taking place about a new Farm Bill or possible extension of the existing Farm Bill, I would have thought that might have been a little bigger concern for folks, but it doesn't seem to be front and center on most people's radar at this point in time.
And there's usually another couple of questions on other things that aren't necessarily asked every single month. What were those for August, and what were some of the results there? Anything that you found particularly interesting?
Well, we continue to ask people periodically about what's going on with carbon contracting. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about that, certainly a lot of publicity in farm magazines about that. This month, we asked corn and soybean producers if they've engaged in some discussions with a company about the possibility of sequestering carbon on their farmland. And I think 6% of the producers in the survey, 6% of the corn and soybean producers in the survey said that they had some discussions with a company. I think just 2% of those corn and soybean producers said they'd actually signed a contract. And then we followed up and said for those who had some discussions with companies about sequestering carbon or getting paid to sequester carbon, what kind of payment rates were being offered. And almost half, I think 47%, said that they were offered between $10 and $20 a metric ton to sequester carbon on their farmland. 16% said they were offered between $20 and $30 per metric ton. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I think roughly a third, 32%, said they were offered less than $10 a metric ton. So we haven't seen a lot of movement there. That $10 to $20 per metric ton still captures the largest number of people that are reporting a rate. So we haven't seen much movement there. And then we did the follow-up and asked people who didn't sign a contract, the people who engaged in some discussions but chose not to sign. You know, overwhelmingly, they're saying that they simply don't think the rates are high enough. So that's not a lot different than what we've been picking up on prior surveys. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of movement there. And the percentage of people that have actually signed contracts appears to be pretty small.
Anything else from this month's survey that we should touch on here before we let you go?
Oh, I think those are probably the highlights.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time here. Again, Dr. James Mintert joining us on the Red River Farm Network.